I like to read the full reading because I like to hear it all in its context, right? I like to let Jesus speak, right? I really like the first few words of the first reading, which I think set the stage for the readings today. It's a very simple three words, conditional. If you choose, that's the way Sirach begins. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. The power of choice. It's what makes us human, right? That's something we can do that no one else can do. It's our glory, our freedom to choose. And the Lord appeals to that freedom today and says, choose well. Jesus in the gospel shows that choices go deeper than just the material thing chosen, what we choose. Not just avoiding murder, but rooting out anger. Not just avoiding adultery, but guarding the heart from lust. Speaking truth simply. It's about choosing life at the level of the heart. It's about your intention as well as the thing that you choose. You could sum it up by saying, choose the right things for the right reasons. John Paul II had a great quote, which I really enjoy. Very deep, but I'll just throw it in here because for those who are deeper thinkers and like this stuff. Freedom is not the power to do what we want, but the power to do what we ought. And in choosing the good in all its forms, we become truly free and truly ourselves. Choosing what we ought, and in doing so, we become really free and become ourselves. So Sirach and the Psalm highlight that freedom to choose God's law is a path of blessing. It's a path of true understanding, true wisdom. God lays it out there, reveals his heart through his law, and asks us to receive it as a path of life, not a path of death. The immature see it as taking something away from me. We've all been through that stage of our growth. Some of you are right in it now. No, don't you trust me? No, let me do it. I know better. And those who are older than us say, yeah, I get it. But we got to keep a little bit of boundaries on that freedom that's just starting to flex its muscles. Not quite there yet. Corinthians, beautiful, that deeper, God's wisdom is revealed by the Spirit. It goes beyond worldly logic, beyond the surface. That true wisdom requires that we go deeper to the intentions of the heart and let the Spirit teach us as we adhere to God's will. Then it opens up, now I get it. More and more wisdom is revealed through obedience. And Jesus, as we know in the gospel, fulfills the law by intensifying it inwardly. That righteousness should exceed that superficial rule keeping. And I don't say superficial in a negative term. Rule keeping is good on the surface, good. But there's a lot more when you move to the level of a heart, to a full freedom adherence. You want to be blessed? Live up to your potential, Jesus would say. In the Old Testament, there was the thou shalt not, and sometimes we see that as negative because there's a not. But in fact, it's made more evident what was in the heart of God when he said, don't do this, by the Beatitudes, which we just read a couple weeks ago. He's like, I've gifted you so many good things. I love you so much. Here's all that I give you. Receive it. And don't steal from other people. I've given you enough, and I've given to them. Don't steal. I love you so much. I give you a beautiful family to love, a wife to find joy with, and don't be an adulterer. I've given you myself, my rule, my Sabbath, a time to rest with me. Don't work when I'm here to love you. Like, the negative comes after an understanding of the good that God is offering. There's two things that I see in our culture which can be educational for us about this truth. One kind of negative and one, I believe, positive. In our world, there is what's called a throwaway culture. It tempts us to treat things as replaceable. And sometimes that's applied to people. like disposable items. We can use them when useful and discard them when inconvenient. It's easier to throw away and replace than to work on fixing and restoring. Pope Francis made that a big point of his preaching over his pontificate. He said, "We've created a throwaway culture which is now spreading. Human beings are themselves considered consumer goods to be used and then discarded." And then he applied it directly to relationships, saying people move quickly from one bond to another, believing love can be connected or disconnected at the whim of the consumer, or blocked, like on social media. That's from Amoris Laetitia. I think of it in my own life of one bad example. Early on in my Uber life, getting Ubers, I didn't quite understand it, so I would cancel my Uber. If it was too far away or I saw one closer, or if they were taking too long, hey, it said 3 minutes and it's actually been 7. And then I realized they can rate you. If you're unreliable, if you cancel, it's like, we're not going to pick him up. Can't count on him to stay through and wait for us, okay? Uber, even if it's a very kind of transactional relationship, still follows these rules. Jesus calls us to a more fruitful path. Heal wounds, rehabilitate bonds, maintain fidelity, avoid superficial distractions. Why? Because true life comes from choosing a love that perseveres, building trust, forgiving anger before it festers, speaking truth without evasion. When Jesus says, don't be an adulterer or honor your vows, that's the end of the road. That's the negative. All of this is before that. Live the fullness of this so you don't get to having to break a vow. That's a growing wisdom, choosing to see potential rather than something that's disposable. The other positive thing I see in culture, or the other cultural thing that I see is positive, is there's a counter trend emerging, and has been for a little while, especially among young people, the rise of thrifting, or restoring old things, old properties, old homes, old clothes, old furniture. Right? You can find them all over YouTube, people fixing things up. There's a beauty and a value in restoring a treasure of the past, bringing out its beauty once again, fixing them up with care, upcycling materials and breathing new life into what was once overlooked. There's a growing wisdom there that it's better to restore than to throw away. Sure, that's just a material thing, but it teaches a deeper truth, a deeper wisdom. Piling things that have been discarded does no good to anyone. This cultural shift reminds us that true flourishing comes from perseverance, creativity, and care, not quick replacement. And things which take a long time to build are worth saving. So let's learn from these cultural movements, not to be a throwaway culture, but to be one that restores and saves. And now we're standing at the threshold of Lent, Ash Wednesday, just days away. So let this be an invitation to our deeper conversion in this period of Lent, in a spirit of choosing life and rejecting a throwaway culture. Reflect on your Lenten commitments, maybe through this reflection, through these pillars, as always, of prayer, almsgiving, and service, but from the Lent, or from the lens of what we want to restore or what we want to let go. What superficial habits or distractions, right? Endless scrolling, grudges, half-truths. What should be stripped away to let the authentic and godly in my heart flourish? What's a waste of time pulling me from true wisdom? What's offensive to him? An anger that festers, a lust that objectifies, oaths that are deceiving, things that I say with my voice but don't mean in my heart. Those things should have no place in me. Those are the things that I go out to the desert to leave behind in the city. Those are the things that I cut off because they don't give me life. better to limit and sacrifice this short-term, kind of uncomfortable state to choose the greater good for my long-term healing and health and eventual salvation. These are the things to fast from. Certainly, food and comforts are good to fast from. But the reason they're good is in material things when I can exercise my freedom and overcome my impulses in little things, giving up sweets, skipping alcohol, all these things. It triggers in my will the capacity to let go of immediate pleasures. And then with that skill, I can choose long-term spiritual benefits. It's purgative. It's to purify so that I'm free to really choose what's higher. It's a step towards, not an end in itself. So certainly choose those things to lose a few pounds. But choose those things so that your will is free to fly to the Lord, to be light spiritually. So through prayer, draw closer to God's heart. Through almsgiving and service, make others more important than yourselves. Through mercy, rebuild and restore bonds that may have fallen apart, are broken, discarded, or overlooked. So may this Lent be a season of restoration, like young people breathing new life into old treasures, so that the Easter joy could be renewed in us. And as Sirach says, let's stretch out our hands to choose life, God's abundant life, today and throughout these 40 days. Amen.